No, it'll feed that.
Oh, sorry, Jack.
Yeah. Okay. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the meeting. Let's start with a pledge. Michelle, can you lead us in a pledge?
Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yeah, sorry about that delay there, Chuck. It's
No,
you're good. You're good. Okay, let the record show that Chuck Franklin is calling in remote, and all the other directors are here with the exception of Leo Hordick. And would like to approve the agenda, but I'd like to make a change here to the agenda. I'd like the public comments to come after our item number five, so that we have a chance to go over that first, and it might answer a lot of questions for the public.
If, well, you mean not after item number five, but during the discussion of our item number
during
five,
the discussion number five. That's
after,
right.
After the board has had an opportunity to talk.
That's right.
Adjust your mic.
Okay. Can I have a motion to approve the change in the approve the agenda?
So moved.
I'll second the motion.
All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 All those opposed? All right. The agenda is approved with that change. So let's go. Now let me explain something how this remote thing works really quick. So I've got 8 people here that have called in remotely, and they're all muted right now. Okay. When it comes time for public comments, they will hit *9 on their phone, and then I'll get a little symbol on here that says they raised their hand, and then I'll take each person in line and let them and unmute them and let them make their comments.
Got it.
Okay. Does that make sense to everybody?
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. And there is a bit of a delay, I'll say. So when we say something, there's a couple of seconds of delay. So just keep that in mind, and the remote callers, keep that in mind, and Chuck, keep that in mind, because there's just a kind of a delay everywhere. So we'll have to be patient.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So item 5, COVID-19 community building closure, discussion of possible action. So we've got... You know, obviously, this is an unprecedented thing. It's happening all over. Lots of closures, restaurants, bars, everything. I think Steve, you came up with something that was just announced from San Bernardino County, right?
Yes, that's correct, and I can read it if you'd like.
Yes, please.
It's a news release issued from the county. I received it on my email as I was driving up, so it has been released just immediately. And this is what it says. It says, county orders cancellation of all gatherings, third case confirmed. In an effort to protect the public from further spread of the virus that causes COVID-19, the county's acting health officer today ordered the cancellation of gatherings of any number of people within the county starting tomorrow through at least April 6th. The order also requires, starting tomorrow, the closing of all movie theaters, gyms, health clubs, bars, adult entertainment establishments, and other businesses that serve alcohol but do not serve food. Food and beverage establishments must follow guidance issued by the California Department of Health on Monday. And there's a link to that. The order does not apply to activities essential to the functioning of our state, including work, public transportation, airport travel, grocery stores, charitable food distribution, certified farmers markets, and shopping at stores or malls. The order also does not apply to congregate living situations, including dormitories and homeless encampments. All San Bernardino County public schools have voluntarily closed as part of the effort to stop the spread of the virus, according to the county superintendent's school. I understand this creates hardships for many families and businesses, but at the end of the day, I believe we all understand that we are in this together, and that together we will get through this, said Board of Supervisors Chairman Kurt Hagman, who announced the order today in a video. The county is taking every step we can to stay in front of this threat. The health risk from COVID-19 to the general public in San Bernardino County remains low at this time, but everyone is strongly urged to engage in practices that reduce the risk of spread, said Acting County Health Officer Dr. Aaron Gustafson. The order also strongly cautions that persons aged 65 years and older and person of any age with certain underlying health conditions are at increased risk should they contract COVID-19, and encourages them to self-quarantine. The order came amid confirmation today the third reported case of novel coronavirus infection within San Bernardino County, a woman in her 50s. The county has no fatalities attributable to novel coronavirus. On March 10, the county health officer, county public health officer, and the Board of Supervisors declared a local health emergency to help ensure county government and the public are prepared for the possibility that COVID-19 will appear within the county. Various appropriate county departments and agencies have been working together, blah, blah, blah. So let me continue down. As with any virus, especially during the cold and flu season, there are a number of steps you can take to protect your health and those around you. And then there's some things that are related to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, okay.
So that's basically the, as far as
okay.
This goes.
Okay, thank you. Thank
sure.
you, Steve.
Thank you.
Okay, so, I guess what they're saying is that, and I think what most people are here for is not that the community building be, not the issue of the community building being closed, but rather it's okay if it's closed, but they want to accept out the farmer's market, right? I think that's what most people are here for, right?
I can barely hear you now.
Okay, how's that?
That's a lot better.
Okay, all right. I'm trying to do this.
I'm not sure how I can... How to do this, but I got to speak to the issue of the co-op this evening because there's no one else to speak to it as my organization.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be on the same page as where I expect the farmers market to be. So,
yeah.
Anyway. And I am in support of the co-op as well as staying open. So I want to speak about that too.
Well, we will. We'll have public comments. But, I'm of the mind to close the community building completely. And because I think the spread of the virus is a big deal. And I don't think we've had this kind of issue in America since 1918. It is a really big deal, and it is going to be inconvenient for everybody. But it will. The more public gatherings there are, including this one, the more chance that it will spread. Now, of course, you know, if you don't have underlying conditions, you're younger than 65, then you know maybe you'll just get sick, and you'll get over it. But you know, other people don't have that chance. So I don't. To me, it is not worth the risk. That's just my opinion. So you know, the rest of the board.
Even if you're contracting it at a young age, you still have the ability to pass it to anybody and never know. So that's I feel I'm with you, Wes, on your feelings about that. But I thought about a lot today about ways to keep the farmers market, maybe the co-op open, but do it in a way like that the restaurants are having to do it at this point, like takeout or some way to limit people from gathering altogether, but have, one person enter the building and one person leave and, one person working or even having the farmers market outside. That way people are not congregating in close quarters. I mean, that's what the restaurants are having to do at this point is
right.
They're going to have to offer their food outside. The school district is handing out sack lunches at, and they're doing it one at a time type of thing. So is there a way to keep both of these operating? Because I do believe in the importance of having this produce and this food available at this time. It really is necessary. I mean, to eliminate people from having to go to the grocery store and, fight over food at the grocery store. But is there a way to do that with and also limit the contact, because I think as a governmental agency, we have an obligation to limit the contact, and it's changing every single day. Today it's less than 10 people. Now it's no people. I mean, I think we have to be responsive of that.
I agree. I think those are good ideas. If we could find a way to do both, that would be great. I would be for that. If you know, but just leaving it as is, I would not be for.
Yeah.
So with Edith that Steve just came down with, for me, aside from these two different organizations, I just see it as pretty black and white. I heard yesterday CERT's already stopped their meetings and such. So I don't think we have any, you know, getting picked up in that mic. I hear a ringing.
Yeah, so move your mic a little closer maybe. Or
okay, so I think, you know, Snow and Players is already canceled. SCA is canceled. Lori, I didn't see it on this calendar, but that dance this weekend was canceled. When, yes, others, you know, anyway, I think everybody's already canceled, and most of it's a non-issue.
Yeah.
I would like to speak. I don't know when the appropriate time for me to speak as a board member versus a public person about the co-op, but I have, it's what I came with tonight, is a plan for exactly how we can make this work and adhere to all of the policies of the social distancing.
Okay.
And I will share that at whatever point it's appropriate.
Yeah, right now.
Okay. So with the co-op, well, first of all, I think the significance of the co-op and the farmers market as well is there are a lot less people that handle this produce. And so you don't have, by the time something comes through in the grocery store, it's just a whole different ballgame. It's also healthy food, and we've got to continue our access to food in this town. With the co-op specifically, I pick it all up from the farmers. They're not coming up here. There's one farmer who comes and drops off, but he is here and gone before the members show up to pick up. What I would do is have, I think, 5 volunteers total, 4 of us to run the operation and 1 at this door. We would leave this door open. They would have, we'd have people distancing in the parking lot or stay in your car until it's ready to come in, or until you see, you know, only 2 people in line. Let one person in at a time. They would go immediately to the bathroom where the door would be propped open with paper towels so that they can wash their hands. And because the best recommendation I've heard is whenever you enter a new place, wash your hands. So they wash their hands. Please use a paper towel to turn off the faucet. And then they come out, they give the money, they get their basket, they come to me, they swap out the things they don't want, and that's a piece of co-op. Everybody doesn't get the stock, same thing. But they swap out the things they don't want, take the things they do, and they're gone. At most, we would have 3 members in here at a time, and if we needed to do it 1 or 2 people at a time, that's great. I intend, if this all is proved, I would contact each of my members requesting that they do whatever they can such that one person is entering the building to get their basket. We often have people bring their kids and whatever.
Yeah.
And so I would request that. And if they do have to bring their kids, what I would ask is that one of my volunteers stands outside with those kids while the parent comes through such that one person's in here. I would make a request for any of our population that's at high risk to stay home. If they want me to deliver their basket, I will do that.
Yeah.
Anything that we can do, because the other piece of this, I was horrified last week when farmers markets started to get shut down. And we had one farmer in particular where, like, they couldn't go to 6 of their 7 markets. We've got farmers all over this country with tons of produce and no way to distribute it if we shut down these kind of mechanisms. So I feel strongly for our farmers, so they will continue to be able to recover their losses and plant a new season for when this hopefully is over. But also for our community, that we need that access. I would love, if there's something we can do in conjunction, we can brainstorm on that, because there's probably a good amount of elderly that could really use some delivery or that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think those are good ideas. Could you have a drive-through thing outside, or is that too?
I don't know if Lori or Tammy can help speak to this. Drive-through is not going to be compatible with co-op, because in order to cut down on waste, we allow people to trade in things they do not want.
Yeah.
And then they want to choose what they do want. And so if we had members that, if we had people that wanted a basket and had never been in the co-op and were happy to just get anything, I'd be happy to just take the basket out to those people. But to our members, they're I'm going to end up with very few members if they don't go home with a basket of things they can actually use.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Isn't that, how many, okay.
But
all
it
right.
would be,
so,
it would be a controlled intake. They come in this door, they go around, and they leave through the front door.
Okay.
I would contact, I mean.
Can there be three people in at a time? Is that what you're proposing?
I can set it to whatever limit is doable. I was going to set it to three, then we have one person at each station, kind of, and when that person moves, everybody moves forward one.
Yeah.
But if we need to go lower than that because of this edict that's just come down, I will figure out. We will make it work.
Michelle, okay. how many helpers do you have?
On a general morning, five of us. And then Rowena's here selling things. We have a lady who comes and sells eggs and such. I'm assuming if the market stays open, Rowena can sell there. So I would restrict that because that's going to slow people down, et cetera. The point would be to get the baskets out. I would still do eggs, but she's not here to sell the eggs. We take the pre-orders. We put them in people's baskets. All they have to do is just pay the money when they come in and order them for next time. So I would continue that and the produce and just make sure there's no other people selling. Anything like that would be done at the market if that's going to
Okay. And
Michelle?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Who changes out the produce that people don't want or they want something different? How would that work?
That is me, and I left out one piece. We will all have gloves on, and we will all have bandanas on. I don't know where we could get face masks at this point, but I believe the bandanas, you know, will accomplish basically the same thing. It'll remind you that you're touching your face, and it'll keep the respiratory, if you cough, it'll keep it in there. Does that answer your question, Chuck?
Yeah, it does, and I think you've got some good ideas, but, you know, I'll come back to the point, basically, is what are we trying to accomplish? Are we trying to eliminate the spread of disease, or are we basically helping small business, you know, so that they don't lose money, and the farmers and, you know, that whole section there? I mean, it really comes down to what's our purpose going to be as far as how we want to attack this. You know, the farmers market, the farmers, people are going to lose money, the co-op, the farmers, they're going to lose money if we just, you know, flat out shut it down. And I agree with Natalie, if there's a way to get this through, and you have some very good ideas, but then I move to the other portion of, we would be having people come into that community center. They talk about, you know, having to disinfect. You've got the Turner alarm company, you know, anybody who puts in the alarm or takes it off, that has to be disinfected. All the tables, all the chairs, all of that area where people, you know, touch or do whatever has to be disinfected. Is that our three employees that do that? I'm concerned about our general manager, whose mother, I believe, just went through some type of medical surgery or whatever, and that's the whole idea on spreading stuff. If people are, you know, going to areas where there's more people in, and all of a sudden they go to their mom's house or their kids or whatever, are we really, you know, trying to get a handle on this spread? And, you know, I called the number. Stretch Sumba from CERT gave me a couple numbers that OES, Office of Emergency Services, gave him, and it's a public information line. They're open 9 to 5. And I gave this number to Tammy, if she's there, to put on the website. And basically when I talked to them, their whole recommendation was you need to shut it down. And that we're looking at the first part of April, although they basically said, you know, this is going to mid-April or the end of April. You know, they couldn't give you, obviously, a timeline. And that puts, you know, a real crimp in our farmers and a few of the businesses. No doubt about that. The idea of having it prepackaged, if there's a possibility, I know I've seen Michelle's operation and where they have the baskets and that type of thing. You know, if there's a way to do it, but you know, we have to disinfect the. From my opinion, anyway, we would have to disinfect the community center every time we opened it up for the co-op and farmers market.
Well, I think.
And then the other thing is, what do we use for our employees? Do we have to get them masks? You know, they should have the gloves anyway, but because we're asking them now to decontaminate, you know, areas
that
the public come into.
Hey Chuck, I think we want to do both, right? We want to try to accommodate the farmers market and the co-op. We can't stop everything. We can't stop every single thing. So there has to be some reasonable way to do both.
I agree with the ideas that we. You know, I would like to see us try to help both of those, but I also agree that the spread of, I mean, why am I sitting here on the phone? Because I happen to be in one of those groups.
Right.
That they say, you know, basically hunker down at your home because, excuse me, you're in a better position to get it from other people. And there's people that have no symptoms whatsoever that could have it pass it along.
Right.
Now, if we can do something like Michelle said, that's more easily done with the co-op. The farmer's market, that's a lot of freaking people that would be coming through the community center unless we could do it, you know, on the outside aspect.
Well, I think...
it's open air. I pulled up Phelan's farmer's market, and they, you know, they talk about their outside, and which, you know, hopefully eliminates more than in a closed space and prepackaging stuff. You know, there's ways that we could probably come up, and I'll be interested to hear what the people on hold right now are thinking. If we can come up with some actual, you know, procedures to do. But don't forget, I mean, we can't just open it up and then go. We've got
tables, okay.
We've got chairs, we've got all that stuff that needs to be addressed
okay.
after the thing is over.
We heard from Michelle on the co-op.
I want to add one thing after
we're
done.
Yeah, sure.
It'll be a pain in the neck, and I don't think we could do it if it snowed, but I think under these circumstances I could figure out how to set co-op up outside. What I would need is some warnings so I can come get all the baskets and everything out of here so that I'm not coming in on co-op morning, creating those things you have to disinfect. I can store those in my house temporarily, my space, and bring them in, which means we could almost have a drive-through thing where people kind of come with their car and tell me what they want.
I would do that.
I could try to figure that out. Yeah. I don't know where that leaves you. I mean, it's all dependent on weather right now. But anyway.
Well, I would like to, and I think that's a great idea. Outdoors, I think, is better. I do. I think it's better.
And I've got two people specifically before we go to general comment. I'd really like to hear from the market owner, Ron.
Yes.
And perhaps Rowena is on, if Rowena is in charge of the
Well, I'll market. Open it up for everybody. Let's take Ron first. Okay, Ron?
Okay.
Let's take Ron first, and let's hear his ideas for how you might want to modify it.
So I'll do that as well, but I also want to address the overall discourse that's happening in terms of what we're going through real quick.
Sure.
So I'm going to first read a message from Rancho Cucamonga when explaining why they are keeping more of their services open. This is before guidelines came out specifically for farmers market. So more than ever, community and compassion are called for during these times. And speaking of that, I'd like to acknowledge you guys. I think that coming here and even having this discussion is a show of compassion and concern for our community, especially since you're all volunteers. And that's, you're not getting paid for this. Which I also want to say, by the way, I don't have any concern for the money of the farmers market, not for me personally. I might have some concern for the farmers in particular because of their needs for keeping open, and some of them may lose their ability to be farmers out of it.
Yeah.
But I have more concern actually for the health of our community, and I'll get to why that is. So let me finish what they're saying. So they're saying, Rancho Cucamonga is saying, our greatest threat is not the virus. It is the fear of the virus, which if left unchecked, will strip away our reason and basic humanity. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt famously said in his first inaugural address that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. It is as true now as it was then. And if toilet paper is hoarded for a respiratory illness, then something has already passed that threshold. As I think we can see that happening now, as well as the food disappearing from the shelves at this point, when there's actually no contagion at all here in Santa Bernardino County, except for those, I don't know if there was actually three people. Maybe it was that actually, I don't think there was any.
Yeah, but that's not the way. That's not the way it works.
Yeah.
It works on.
Yes, and also let me address that, and then we continue because.
Well, I'm sorry. Excuse me. I think I have to address that. It is the virus that is important. It is. It is not the fear of the virus. It is the virus that needs to be slowed down, stopped. Unless you take drastic measures, you might as well take no measures.
But you can't actually stop the virus. The virus is, the reason they're doing this now is to slow it down. No, they're slowing it down so the hospitals don't become over inundated.
Right.
This is not going to end by us quarantining because the quarantining is not successful the way we're doing it
okay.
at that level.
Okay.
So let me please continue with this. So I'm just letting you know that the panic and the fear is there already. And if we take into the panic and the fear, we're going to miss some other reasons that's very important for us as a community. That we need to pay attention to, not just the virus. So Wrightwood is also a special place. It's a unique environment. And I ask you to help us to operate with the reason and be a part of the solution by recognizing our community's needs for food at this time in particular. I ask that you help to stave off some of the panic that I'm trying to acknowledge, especially when it interferes with our town's specific needs, which again is access to food since it's disappearing off the shelves. I can understand closing a community building to stay within the current CDC guidelines of keeping people from, you know, attending events. And again, the actual guidelines, I'm not sure where you got that this morning. There's a lot of people saying things in terms of 10. The president said something, but he's a politician. And the CDC has, and it's on there right now, you can go look it up, it's 50. The actual San Bernardino County had 250 when I looked at it last, then saying to the CDC's recommended, which is again.
I think what Steve read off what just came out.
He got it in the parking lot.
Yeah, it's from the county.
I would still go look at the CDC because again,
that's the federal immediate. That's the federal requirement, and then the county is.
Yeah, and again, address that too, just so I don't forget this. It's going to. If I can bring it again, I apologize. That also partakes to. Actual meeting places. You don't see that happening in grocery stores, and you don't see that happening in Walmart, where they also are providing food and other basic needs.
What I read did exempt certified farmers markets. So
yes, I'm saying that too. Yeah, but yeah, what I want to do is I do want to actually establish that it does exempt farmers markets because they are a food source. But I also want to let you know that I request even of myself and my farmers to do like you're doing. We're requesting more guidelines than what's actually being asserted right now. I'll just read this really quickly and get through it. Let's see where we were. So again, we talked about the public health things and exempting the farmers market. Thank you. And also in that, I would say that the health department is doing that on purpose to make sure that that food is available to our communities. I can't imagine if all of a sudden now we can't go to the restaurants except for takeout. I can't see BJ's and other places like that staying open with the food that we need or normally people are getting. They now have to cook at home. So that food's going to be utilized and possibly in a higher ratio than it was before, and it's cutting down already our access to food. We are our food source here.
Ron, I don't want you to run out of time for public comment. We all acknowledge the importance of that. What we all really want to hear right now is how are you going to address these issues, because the farmers market can't exist the way it currently is because you've got a ton of people coming through here, all crammed together, the social distancing guidelines. How will you address that? How far apart will the farmers be? Will it be inside, outside?
Right, so first of all, I would actually like to be outside as much as possible. but I don't think that's actually necessarily a good health choice when it's this, when it's going to be this cold, possibly. So I'd ask that we have somewhere we could limit the amount of people coming in and help that. I'm not going to be able to do it as well as you. But I do want to let you know that we are certified farmers markets. That the health department mandates us. I have been trained to deal with our farmers market and follow guidelines, which we have always upheld. That means my organization in particular is directly under the auspices for the health emergencies of the health department itself. They gave us those guidelines by our California Health Department. I follow those, and I do not miss those. So we will be following those, like the new ones, what they said. No.
Well, I think, like Director Schneider said, you're kind of preaching the choir on all of these points.
Tell us specifically, like I said, here's what we're going to do for co-op. We're having people come in this store. We're going to have people this far apart. Give us that for the market so that we feel confident in your plan.
So I don't, you know, again, I don't know what to tell you.
Do you have a plan?
No. I have. That's not fair. I do have a plan. It's called following those guidelines that are handed out and mandated through the health department. I can follow those. If I also was able to read this and had the time for you, I'd let you know that last week we had gloves on our farmers in advance as well of any of that mandating kind of stuff.
Okay.
I also offered to take and have...
But Ron, that's no longer good enough. It's,
well, I can back, where is I can that? Back them up.
Who's
right
saying?
Now, like,
it's...
We started in advance today.
Yeah.
And we were going over some ideas. We talked last morning.
Okay.
Texted last night.
Okay.
But one of them is that...
Here, you can come
and take your name.
Hi.
Say your name in a minute. My name is Therese Johnson, and I'm a former manager of the farmer's market.
Okay. Can you speak into the mic? Because it's being recorded.
I also believe that it's extremely important that...
You have to get closer, Therese.
Right on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go.
She talked what they raised.
Okay. So we've already established that it is also exempted. So I can understand the concerns about the building.
Yeah.
But some of the things that we were discussing or were putting on the table anyway is the vendors were already utilizing gloves. That can be made more mandatory. The vendors could also be utilizing bandanas if we can't get a hold of face masks. The vendors can also be in charge of lifting the fruit out of the display.
Yeah.
To put into bags for people rather than allowing them to choose it by themselves. I know we all like to squeeze that avocado, but in these conditions we just can't.
Yeah.
So then one of the other things on the table for this list to add to is that we can ask the vendors to make sure that there's someone with them that can handle the money so that they're not taking their clean gloves, handling produce, and then touching money.
Great.
That someone separately
yeah.
is doing the money exchange, and that they're following, of course, the same guidance. We could implement some curbside ordering for seniors or people over the age of 65. I know of at least two of the 18-year-olds in this town already graduated, that I'm pretty sure would come and help. They could spread the news of that and get more volunteers. I'm certain that if we put it out on the Facebook pages, the right with Facebook pages, that we could get other people that would also be willing to help out. I'm willing to help out. So that we could take orders from them curbside and run and get the things that they really need. As long as they have, you know, some lead-in a warning that, you know, when you come, if you want the service, you need to have a list.
Yeah.
And then possibly even... beyond that, for those that are really at risk over 65 and have an issue, I know that I would be willing to, and we haven't talked about this yet, about the logistics of it and the money and how we would get the vendors paid and everything. You know, this is kind of sudden.
Yeah.
So we really haven't had a chance to go over a lot of this yet.
Yeah, it's true.
But it's all in his mind as well. And but we could do some deliveries. We'd probably need a... Well, your money doesn't matter. That could be sorted out.
Yeah.
But that for high-risk people that really need to stay at home, we could also sort out ways to get that delivered to them. Or even refer them over to the co-op if they don't know what they should get.
It would be easier on my end for the money because I've already paid all the farmers.
Right. So But if they have specific things that they wanted, that we would be open to doing that. I would certainly, after the market closes, be more than happy to run a few deliveries for people that made a list in advance so that it could be handled. But I'm completely with Ron on the idea that we can't overreact and shut everything down and make that food inaccessible and have food rotting at the farmers' farms while people are starving here or living on saltines and chicken noodle soup.
Right. But
then if they do get sick, they can eat.
Yeah, but
right.
I think we're trying to figure that out.
Yeah, the board's acknowledged that. Everybody supports that. We just got to figure out these details that you're giving us right now are really helpful. And can I ask you a question?
Sure.
About that, in terms of, would there be an attempt to limit the number of people in the building at any given time? Would you have people waiting, like 10 people can come in and shop? And
I think that that would be wise, even if
well,
we were
that's
outside.
Already, that's already something I would be doing
right.
Right now. I also had that we would actually, last week, we were already asking them to put it on Facebook and put it out, but it was last minute. To say that we would run people, you know, food if they're also elderly,
right.
Where they can't and not supposed to get out, so that we can actually support them as well.
Yeah.
And we didn't have any takes up on that yet. And also had refused people that were sick last week from coming in the market. So.
Okay. All right. I'd like to. There's some online folks. So I see one person that's raised their hand. Can I? I'm gonna. This is all new. Okay. So be patient.
Yeah.
I think it's 3 minutes, right, for public comment?
For public comment. Right now that we've heard from them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have somebody on here. Oops. I have two people on here. Need that person. Get this person. Okay, so a caller from 412-9746.
Hello, this is Rowena McDermott. That is my number.
Okay. Can you state your name?
Rowena McDermott, the Sealand Certified Farmers Market Amateur, and also Moonstruck Farms owner and participant of the Wrightwood Certified Farmers Market.
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
I would like to share with you what I received from the CBFA regarding the Certified Farmers Market to help inform you in making this decision. The paragraph I'm going to read is specifically pertaining to Certified Farmers Market. These are the guidelines that they're requesting us to follow. Facebook, accordingly, to increase social distancing among patrons in line and walking among the market. Ensure that social distancing of 6 feet per person for non-family members is maintained. And make clear that family members can participate in activities together, stand in line together, etc.
You know what? You know what? We actually have this guideline, and the phone call's really... really choppy, so I'm going to have Michelle read it off, okay?
Rowena, I've got the same thing
okay.
verbatim that you're reading, but we're not going to be able to record what you're saying. So, space booths accordingly to increase social distancing among patrons in line and walking about the market. Ensure the social distancing of 6 feet per person for non-family members is maintained and make clear that family members can participate in activities together, stand in line together, etc. Limit the number of customers at any given time as necessary to reduce outdoor or indoor crowding and lines to meet social distancing guidance. Increase cleaning and sanitizing frequency of restroom and other high contact areas. Train employees on best hygiene practices, including washing their hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Offer additional hand washing or sanitizing stations throughout the venue. Eliminate events and marketing that target individuals that CDPH has identified as higher risk of serious illness for COVID-19. Encourage activities such as pre-bagging to expedite purchasing. Suspend sampling activities. Increase frequency of cleaning of tables, payment devices, and other surfaces. Eliminate non-essential and non-related services such as bands or other entertainment. At the end of the market, continue to utilize local food recovery systems to feed/donate extra products to populations in need. If applicable, continue accepting EBT payment. And then they have a link to the full guidance. But those are the things that were specified for the certified farmers markets.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is is Rowena still on? Is she going to continue her comments?
Do you have more, Rowena?
Wait a minute. I muted her.
Oh.
So there she is. Hang on.
Rowena, did you have more?
Hang on. Hang on. Oh. I'm sorry. Jumping around on me. I'm sorry. I think this is her here. Is this you, Rowena? Hello? No?
She was 412.
She was 412. Don't see 412. I think she's off. I'm sorry.
I'm going to, would it be appropriate for me to text her and find out if there's anything else she wanted to say?
Yeah,
yeah, that would be appropriate.
Okay.
Oh, 412, I got it right here.
Oh.
Hang on. Every time I click on it, hang on a second, I'll find it again. There it is. Yeah, sorry about that.
Okay. You should be able to hear me now, but I'm unmuted, so.
Yeah, it's pretty choppy.
Can you hear me?
It's pretty choppy. But okay.
Unfortunately, part of the problem is my cell service.
Oh, okay.
It's been poor this last week.
Oh, okay.
Let me try another location here. Is this a little bit better?
Slightly.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, it's just very choppy.
Let me make it quick. As of March 17th, according to county, state, and public health guidelines, the fuel and farmers market will continue to operate following all safe distancing guidelines, instituting any measures necessary to keep our community healthy from the virus itself and to continue their health by providing these farm fresh produce. Thank you.
Rowena, I have a question. Do you conduct your farmers market primarily outside, or right now because of the weather, do you do it inside?
We are both inside and outside. So our inside spacing is being controlled. In addition, attendance will be controlled at the door. In addition, even the outside attendance, if it starts to rise, will be controlled at the wheelchair ramp.
And can you elaborate on the control, like how many you're going to allow into the building at the same time and what your practices are going to be to distribute the produce and also sanitize?
I'm not going to allow any more than 10 into the building at a time. And based on the spacing of the customers in the market, I will limit them to 10 in each individual stand.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to mute you now. Is that okay?
That is fine. Just let me know if you have any other questions, and I'll just raise my hand again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have more?
I don't have any more. If there's anybody else on the line that wants to make a comment, if there's anybody else on the line here remotely, you can hit *9 to raise your hand, and I'll see it, and then I'll unmute you. Thanks very much.
I'm Larry, and I'm probably the most senior one here, and I came up here for that reason. I'm 82 years of age. I am vulnerable. And it is the farmer's market where I do my shopping. Even without the virus being present, I come up every Friday to this farmer's market. I have the opportunity to purchase fish, chicken, eggs, vegetables, fruits, everything but dairy, plenty of bakery, appetizers such as garlic spreads, etc. This farmer's market, as well as Rowena's, are the two places that I do my purchasing of food. I need these places. And I do it as a normal course on my own. and with this available, there are fewer people than Stater Brothers at any time. And it's a much better and much more healthy environment for me, both from the farmers and their products and in the fact of handling the food and how it's raised. Mm-hmm. So this is essential. Oh, and I forgot, my favorite, of course, is I can get desserts here. And all of this is homemade and it's top quality, in my opinion. So
yeah.
That's my reason for being here.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Laura, did you come to speak about the building closure? Because that's what we're discussing right now.
I don't know. I came to bring something to
you. Okay, but did you need to speak to it?
Speak.
Okay. All right.
Okay, well, I have another person on here. Well, there was a person on here, and now they've... Is there anybody online here that wants to make a comment? Raise your hand by hitting star 9. Oh, I have somebody here. Okay, can you state your name? I'm referring to the person from 7.
Hello.
Yes. Yes. Can you state your name? No.
Lisa Lentica.
Okay. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes. Hi. Can you hear us, Lisa?
Yes. My name is Lisa Lentica.
Okay.
I'm glad this technology works.
Barely. Go ahead.
I just wanted to state that we attend the farmers market quite often, and we need food, fresh food, and I understand the concerns about the virus and limiting contact, et cetera, but I also feel like we need food. None of the grocery stores are closing. They're perhaps changing their practices, so they're open less, you know, cleaning more, et cetera, et cetera. But this food is not handled by nearly as many people as it would be handled by at a supermarket. And you're in contact with many, many people at a supermarket, and I feel like this is really important for us to have that open with modifications as needed, as maybe less people at a time or taking turns or wearing gloves. And I know I and my husband, we always come to the farmers market and feel like it's really important to have that food source available, especially for people, so then you don't have to go down the hill or somewhere else where there would be more people around. So I feel like it's really imperative for it to stay open.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Are you ready to vote?
I think you're ready to have a motion.
A motion.
Yeah.
But everything that's been said, that can be said about this, has been said at this point, right?
Yeah.
The only thing I'm wondering about is with Teresa's suggestions for the farmer's market, that's putting more people in the building, extra money handlers, that type of thing. That has me a little bit leery, and I kind of like to see a plan.
I would like to know if this is possible for the money, because I like the idea of the farmers not having to handle the money, because money is the thing that's being handled the most in this society right now, that we're all still handling and not, you know, we have no guidelines around money. Is it possible for you guys to figure out some sort of voucher system such that the farmers are able to indicate you owe $2.90? They take that, maybe it's different colored pieces, maybe the paper is different colored for each farmer, when and Therese sits there with a cash box and people they give her the essential receipt, but it's just colored. The farmers don't have time to write much of this, right? They have one pen they'd be touching then. They wouldn't touch any money, and they write down $2.50, and the person then takes that to Teresa or for David, whoever's going to handle this. They pay the person, and at the end of the night, you guys sort out which farmers are owed what money. That would something along those lines.
I see. You mean we take the money?
You collect all the money. You distribute it. Figure out whatever kind of system. I'm sure you can come up with something that I just better than what I just made up. But something along those lines, where we can eliminate. Because honestly, the biggest concern to me in all of it is probably the money. If you could put that in a singular place, that would reduce our risk immeasurably. And that's something we do have with co-op. There's just one person collecting money. The rest of us never touch it. If you guys can figure something out.
Well, again, the notice I got for this meeting was last night.
Right, so you're
and
making
I've
it up.
I've been working all day with my clients for alternative health, and I haven't had a chance to do
right.
anything besides be here. So I didn't think about that, but it's actually definitely, we could do something where I'd love that essential part of
okay.
the money like that taken care of.
And I can work with you
to
figure out
that,
a way.
That'd be great.
Absolutely.
And what I do think is very important, though, is that those guidelines are not just minor things. I mean, not serving
sampling.
Samples.
Yep. Well, and the grocery really, stores have stopped that. Costco's not sampling. I mean,
right.
nobody's sampling.
But I think all that's very important, and I actually think there's other ones, too, that I would like to keep implementing. But, again, we can't do that unless we're serving the community. So.
Now, I do need to make a distinction about the co-op. We're not a certified farmer's market. I feel like we can control all these things more efficiently than a market because of the nature of what we are. But we're not a market.
Well,
so I don't know if we need to separate these two things. I'm ready to make a motion about the farmer's market if you guys are ready for that. And I don't know if we need to separate the co-op.
My vote would be that until there's a plan, we can have another meeting to authorize a plan. But there's no plan at this point. And my vote would be we're shutting the community building down, shutting it all down.
Okay,
because
I gave you my plan.
Because there's no, you know, we'd like to see something in writing, a protocol, like this is what we're going to do. And
okay.
otherwise, my vote is we're shutting the whole thing down. Because we can't. You know, there has to be some kind of plan. I understand there's not been a lot of notice for a plan, but we can have another meeting about it. You know, I think I think this COVID-19 is pretty important, and that the only way it's going to get slowed down is if we take drastic action.
Now, do you mean when you say shut the whole thing down, do you mean shut the whole building down? You're not talking shut the market down. Like there's still an opportunity to have the market outside.
Yeah,
in
they want to
home.
Have it outside. Yeah, it'd be okay.
Yeah.
But the building, I'm
not
saying.
Not what that sounded like.
Yeah, that's I wanted to differentiate
well,
that.
Like
because
yeah.
I would like to see the market and the co-op continue on because I definitely acknowledge and agree with everything that everyone is saying here about the availability of fresh produce and who knows what is going to happen in the next couple of days with even our ability to be able to go to the supermarket. And
right.
I think that
yeah.
we're reducing the risk of people having to be exposed by going to the supermarket by having the farmers market here. But I definitely understand Wes's point of view about the building itself. And
so I think we've got a couple issues here. First of all, another meeting. If he doesn't hold market, he's got a whole lot of farmers to cancel. The public
mm-hmm.
needs to be notified, et cetera. That can't happen just overnight. There needs to be time for that, and the farmers deserve some warning about that. If another one of the markets.
Well, this stuff's all happening in real time right now.
Right.
This
is real time right here. For me,
yeah.
what I would say is I'm happy to write up a plan, but I have said it. It's on the record. I will go back and transcribe it. I will hold to every single thing I just said and
yeah.
was recorded, meet all of those things. What I would like to do and support, and I would be okay whether it's inside or outside, but I would like to allow the market to continue as if and only if they're following the guidelines they brought to us today. And by guidelines, I mean what Rowena was trying to read that I read aloud.
Yeah.
Those are the official guidelines. If and only if those are followed.
Absolutely.
Also requesting
that some of the ideas that Teresa allowed would also be followed because those are greater measures.
Meaning allowing 10 people to come in at a time and having an attendant at the different areas,
well, those
making
are the
sure
that Rowena. Oh, yeah, I guess another attendant. I'd like to see the money centralized personally.
Yeah, but like, and
something out just real quick too. I appreciate that, what you're saying, but I also I would like it if you would make it something for us right now that I could actually extend having more people in the parking lot without an extra fee, so that I can actually take and have it be a little bit safer and more operative for people, because we already have a person out in front, you know,
yeah,
a fish person, and sometimes we'll have one per food person, but I'd like to make a little bit more room out there so there's less need to have traffic in here, and help to even extend some of these ideas that were brought up today and make that more compliable and doable for us. If we could just operate maybe, again, any market I can put outside, I'll put outside. But I think, you know, we got a snowstorm here. We got one afterwards. I think this Friday would be rough to get all that together to put a farmer's market outside for people. And I'm afraid a little bit of the exposure with that as well for health issues. But if we can, you know, maybe not have me doing that this particular market, but as soon as I can get that together for the next market, I would do whatever you need us to do. Limit the people, limit the...
I would say it would have to happen for my vote at least. It would have to happen this market. Like no, we can't wait for another market. It has to happen now.
Yeah, all the guidelines for the CDC, yeah, that's not a problem. That'll be handled.
Yeah.
When we vote, Wes, can we break it down between the co-op and the farmer's market?
All right. The co-op is much more straightforward. I got it. Told you.
Well,
let's start with that.
Hang on, Ron.
Where I'm going to be voting is Michelle came in with a lot of thought, gave us some type of procedures. It's easier with the amount of people that she has that she could manage that better. Farmers market, other than last minute stuff throwing out procedures, I didn't hear that they were really ready for anything other than it's not really the problem. We're not talking about a virus. It's just fear and fear itself. So, no, you know, I'm not inclined to vote on the farmer side. The co-op side, I'm more inclined to vote.
Yeah, but Chuck, also, this is Natalie, we do need to consider, like, the availability of food up here and the fact that there are a lot of people who depend primarily on this market. So I don't think, you know, even if we don't like what Ron or what someone here has to say about it, or they maybe took the wrong tone or something like that, it still doesn't make it... It still doesn't mean that it's not imperative that we have food like that up here available for the community. So I wouldn't vote
Natalie,
just based on...
I don't disagree, Natalie, but what is our purpose? Do we want to stop the spread of the disease, or do we want business as usual and just, you know, basically play Russian roulette?
I don't
because
think we...
It's not, you know, so they get their food, but if they're contaminating other people around them, then whether it's their kids, whether it's their parents, whether it's the elderly, whatever, you know, that's, it sure seems like we don't really care about the spread of the disease from what I'm hearing.
No, Chuck, I'm in here with a mask and gloves on right now. I'm the only one in the room, so I definitely care. But the point I'm making is that I think that there can be a compromise here to where we don't have to, you know, stop everything in its tracks, and we can figure out a way to make it work because there's other, you know, industries that are figuring out ways to make it work and take the proper precautions to make sure that they're doing their best practices. And I think that there's a way to continue the farmers market with best practices. Maybe they haven't been outlined in completely right now, but I think, you know, I think it is imperative that we keep it going and we figure out a way. And my, you know, my point here is make some guidelines. Maybe my feeling is to have it outside, and I know that that's not popular and maybe it's cold, but unfortunately there's been a lot of scenarios right now where people have had to been put out a little bit as far as cold or being in an uncomfortable place or whatnot. But if people want to get their groceries and they want it open and it's cold, you know, maybe wear a heavier jacket and be out and shop quickly and, you know, make it clean and simple.
Okay, is there...
I don't have a problem with them doing it outside.
Okay.
And I would prefer to vote on each area. But, you know, having it outside, go for it.
Okay.
We're talking about an enclosed area, which is the community building.
Okay, let's break it down really quick, Ron, if we could.
Let's start our motions in voting.
Well, no, I really want to hear what the protocol is going to be, because right now mine is like, no. I mean, I want to hear what the protocol is going to be for the farmers. If it's, I really do want to hear that.
Okay, well, I can tell you what I know now so far, but really, you know,
what would be the protocol? So you're saying you want part of it inside and part of it outside.
Yes.
That's what you're saying right now. Could you limit it to a certain number of people? Or?
Oh, absolutely. I already said that. We would definitely limit it to a certain amount of people.
How many people?
I would probably go for the same as Rowena with the 10. I would actually, Rowena, you know, and I work closely together with all of us. So whatever she's doing, I would incorporate.
Would you
that.
Agree with 10? 10 people at a time?
In the building?
In the building, yeah.
How many of them are vendors and how many of them are customers?
Well, the same would be the customers that could come through, but the vendors would be spread out. If you give me the outside so I can work with, then I have them spread out even further. So we could even go further than the 6-foot mandate and ask the people as they come in to actually take and, you know, stay at one booth by your loans, you know, by yourself, if not move away from
it. Chuck, would you be okay with 10 people inside?
For the farmer's market?
Yeah.
No, because we're not talking 10 people. We're talking all the vendors also that will be inside.
Could we do 10 total? How many vendors would you have inside?
Oh my gosh.
I'm just trying to figure out the parameters here.
All right. I have to keep.
How many vendors would you have inside? Let's start with that.
I understand, but you have to understand what's happening is I have to keep a certified farmers market separate. The farmers?
Yeah.
Separate from all other vendors. I have rules.
Okay.
See, I have the health department, right? And I have the agricultural department. So she doesn't have that. She doesn't have those guidelines. I am
working
under the health department.
How many of your certified farmers are, how many of your vendors are certified?
So I have one, two, with two people, so three people, four and five. I have five people that are inside that are certified farmers, and if they were the only ones here.
And could they have just one person per station?
Could you make it be inside are your certified farmers? That means your vendors stay to five. You let in
and only,
six
and
of the public, something like that. You hover right there around 10 people in the building.
I could do that.
And then the parking lot has your other vendors.
Well, we're
parking lot has my other vendors. Yes, I can do that.
So if could you do that? Could
yes.
you? Okay.
Yes, and no, I'm going to freeze the vendors, but yes, I can do that, and then they can come or not.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
What about your cleaning protocols afterwards?
Again, you brought this up to me this last thing. I clean every time that I'm here, but I don't have anything extra at this point to clean up.
It would have to be policed better because I was at the last farmers, and yes, there was people without gloves, vendors.
Right. Well, the vendors on the side are not the farmers. They're holding items that are completely enclosed.
I got you.
You didn't say it was a mandate last time, right?
Right.
You just said some people did that voluntarily
on
their own.
So
the rules are changing now.
Yeah, yeah, they are.
He would say, and they did come in. They did come in with a plan like I had, but I knew I'm not part of the health department. If I'm going to keep my organization going, I've got to figure out what I'm going to do, and nobody's going to dictate it to
okay.
me. They have been dictated to. They did come in with those guidelines.
Okay.
They gave them to us. They told us what they intend to follow,
okay.
which are all of these guidelines.
I have to.
And then,
I would be shut down if I did not follow
okay.
the health department.
But he'll mandate
and
then
never have a problem with
okay.
them, with
okay.
all these guidelines.
Sure, okay. So you're
would
saying you could do Chuck, would you be okay with 10 people total in here at a time?
Not really, but... There's four other votes.
We need a quorum. But okay, how would you feel about asking your farmers to wear a bandana?
Absolutely.
Okay?
That's the way they can sell. I'm sure they do it.
Okay, what about disinfecting the tables after you're done?
We have tablecloths on everything.
Okay.
So we don't, and the ones outside will use their own tables, and it won't be anything from here. In here, it would be the tables need to all be covered by tablecloths. Even mine is covered with a tablecloth. There isn't anything that's not. So we don't use anything, you know, beyond that.
use chairs.
Can we move forward on this? Do we have the information we need, or?
Okay. Yeah. Can I? First of all, it'd be kind of a series of motions, right? Now, we can have multiple motions here, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
so,
I don't know if I can vote on the one that relates to the co-op. So I think it's got to separate it out, doesn't it?
Well, to be honest, Director Schneider, you contributed so much on the issue that to then contribute and then back out just because of the vote would be inappropriate.
Well, should I not vote on any of it then?
Well, I think you should publicly identify what the relationship you have with co-op is. So, and then we can talk about.
I apologize. I thought I led with that. I'm the director of the co-op.
Yeah, I said that to start with.
Do you receive any money from that?
No, it's not.
So there's no financial impact.
Yeah, I'm a middleman from farmers to.
So there's no financial impact. Okay. Then that's the issue.
Yeah,
No, then you're fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. First of all, let me entertain a motion to close the community building until our next meeting, where we will evaluate, and then I'll entertain additional motions for exceptions on that. Okay. So I want to close the community building to all events, right? And I guess I could make it all one deal.
That doesn't work for me. I can't second that.
Okay. So can I have a motion to?
Well, are you asking for a motion or are you making a motion?
I'm
asking for a motion. I'm asking for a motion to close the community building until the next meeting and accept out the farmers market and the co-op. With the protocols that we discussed.
No, I think you need to break those two up, please.
Okay, I can do that.
Yeah. Take it on the co-op first. It's just more black and white.
And I also have one more question before we vote.
Yeah.
What happens as if things develop further? What is our plan for that if things develop to become worse than they are right now with
then,
as far as regulations?
Do we
call
another
special meeting?
That's right. We have another special
meeting.
Yeah. My suggestion on that, I think that's a great question, is this is such from a regulatory standpoint, such a moving target right now.
Yeah.
That I think this should be regularly agendized on your regular meetings.
Mm-hmm.
My suggestion would be to the extent that the board approves any exception that has protocols that were discussed now, that there be some sort of written document that be brought back perhaps at the next meeting that identifies what those protocols are, so that there isn't any confusion.
But that's a chicken and egg thing, right? I mean, if we're saying, hey, we please provide the protocols at the next meeting. But
no, we just need I will send in my current protocol for co-op. He can send in his.
Maybe you're not understanding. What
okay.
You could still approve that now.
Yeah.
But that there, at some point in time, there needs to be written protocols that are approved by the board. You can make the determination with an exception.
Yeah.
With certain conditions that are being discussed today. I agree. This is all moving in real time.
Yeah.
And so the board's well within its right to go ahead and make a decision now, without having that particular document in front of you, especially given that you've got an event coming on Friday.
Yeah.
Just that, I think that for a documentary reason, you would want to have something in writing to reflect what the protocols are, and then the board can see how this how it works out on Friday, see what if there's any wrinkles that develop,
tweaking.
And then
yeah.
the tweaks that can take place later on.
Okay, let's see. I'm asking for a motion to close the community building, and with the exception of the, with the exception of the co-op, given the protocols that you laid out.
I don't think we can do it like this because then that's not stating the farmers market. I think
I'll have to make another motion for
Chuck
that
is
because
asking for
Chuck is asking for that to be
right,
separate.
Right, but that statement.
No, then no. Actually, that works because then you have a second motion.
I'm going to make a second.
Okay.
That
okay.
Makes,
all right. Okay.
Okay. So, what I just said. Can I have a motion to close the community building with the exception of the co-op, given the protocols that you laid out earlier?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you, Jack.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? All right, the motion carries. Now, can I have another motion to accept out the farmer's market, allow the farmer's market with a maximum of 10 people, including vendors and customers, in the community building at a time with all the proper cleaning procedures in place?
So moved.
I'll second the motion.
All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 All those opposed?
No.
Okay.
How'd you vote?
I vote aye.
Oh, okay.
I vote aye. So the motion carries.
The motion carries.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And we would ask that, you know, some sort of written protocols after this next farmer's market so we can bring that up. Is that all right?
There could be another
special meeting. We have the rules are in that if there needs to be another special meeting, we announce it and we can have the meeting 24 hours later. That's the way it works. A regular meeting is 72 hours in advance.
You can be put on the email list if you'd like.
Yeah, can I put you on my email list?
On the district's email list, the distribution of the special meeting agendas.
Can I make another request just to, again, this is just because last night I missed this, right? So, you know, I have a very intensive practice right now. I've got to take care of people that are not well, too. So last night it came in, like, last minute after I got back from that, and it was just like, oh, now I've got to do this, too, right? And take care of it. Didn't know how to do that. I could have a call or something to make sure I get the message when this is coming out, if it's going to be something that might, you know, affect the closure of the farmer's market.
My suggestion would be that you get put on the email distribution list. The district, we're required, if you requested written notice of all the agendas, we're required by law to provide those to you in the same way.
You send me something on that list already. I get one. You're right with certified farmers market. Again, if I'm working, I don't have any way of knowing that that's going to be coming down until I get home very late at night.
Okay. Well, you can work that. Okay. I mean, that's,
we got to work that out later.
Okay.
That's up to the legally you're entitled to written.
I
just want to let the board know, I'm trying to move on. I have to leave in about 5 minutes. I have an appointment tonight. I rescheduled. I can't change it any more than it is.
Okay. All right.
I just said I have an appointment that's been rescheduled. I can't move it. I'm going to have to leave in about 5 minutes. So that's why
okay.
I'm trying to move things along because I want to be here for the rest of it.
Okay. No problem. All right. Item 6, WCSD employee duties during closure, discussion of possible action. Okay, so I just put this on here because I wanted to get it straight of what Lori and Tammy and everyone else is going to do while the community building is closed. Now, do we want to keep the bathrooms open?
Currently the bathrooms are closed because they're frozen. So
okay.
It depends on the weather as to what we're doing.
Okay.
And it depends on whether or not you want the people here, because if the people are here, they can clean the bathroom. But if they're not, then we don't have anybody available to clean bathrooms.
Yeah.
So I would consider closing them if you're curtailing your hours.
Yeah.
And we still have the porta potties, right, Lori?
Yes, and they're serviced every Friday.
Okay.
Yes, I think we're good there. Might
make the most sense to just leave those indefinitely at the moment.
Yes.
And we're outsourcing the cleaning, the risk, all of it.
Right.
I agree.
Okay. Yeah. That would be my preference. Like I put in the board packet, I can keep at least two of the employees, one being me, occupied during the time that the building's closed. But I'd have to juggle some hours around because I think there's going to need to be some outside maintenance done and then some inside office work done, too.
Okay. So do you have a recommendation?
I normally have the dump cards, too, coming up, and we've got, you know, financials and other things, and the budget proposal for the next meeting. if it's stuff that could be taken home, if the building is closed, then, you know, take the stuff home and do it from home. But my point, the one thing I wanted to get through, whether there's work for them or not, if we're shutting the place down, I think the three employees should be paid, period.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
I agree as well.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
We do not want to find ourselves at the end of this without employees.
No.
Nor do we want to find our employees in such hard straits that, anyway.
Right.
We gotta take care of our employees here.
I agree.
No, but if one of them needs to be there to watch the roof being repaired or the parking lot, you know, or the other things that we had talked about the last meeting, great, you know, that's outside, whatever. And as long as the other, we have a GM that's going to be leaving for a couple weeks on vacation, maybe.
Maybe.
So, that depends on the flight. But anyway, as long as they're getting paid just, you know, their basic hours, and if they can do the other stuff and the cards and things like that, great.
Okay.
If it's an issue from a safety standpoint, then no, but let's pay them.
Okay.
And the dump carts need to be done in the office here because we've got a specialized printer and the program is on the main computer. So if there's only one, maybe two of us in the office, we're okay working together. And as soon as somebody doesn't feel well, gets a little cough, they're going home.
Okay. Director Schneider needs to get going to another appointment, so you can take.
Is there action we need to take? I'm aware that if I leave, I'm leaving you with only a quorum.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's going to be any action.
Okay.
And you could listen to the meeting online for Steve's Brown Act waiver.
Okay. All right. Thank you, guys. Sorry.
Okay. See you. Thanks, Michelle.
Yeah.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thanks, Jeff. We miss having you here.
You can't kick me under the table anymore.
Like I said, I missed
you. Okay. All right. Let's move on to item 7. Steve, you want to talk about the Brown Act waiver and how that works?
Yeah. So on Thursday, Governor Newsom issued an executive order in light of the coronavirus pandemic. That, among other things, eased the requirements that the district has, that the board has, for holding meetings by teleconference. And as you see, you're exercising some of those relaxed regulations now. Previously, what you would have to do is there would have to be a quorum within the district. You would have to identify on the agenda the location of each director that is attending by telephone. You would have to post the agenda at that location. You would have to make that location open to the public, and you would have to have all the votes by roll call, and you would have to take public comment at the location that each director was at that was attending by teleconference. In order to promote social distancing and to alleviate some of the potential for spreading of the virus, what the governor did in his executive order was say, okay, you still have to give notice of the meetings in the same way that you've always done it, 72 hours for regular meetings, 24 hours for special meetings. But you can have board members attend by telephone in more locations than just one or two, as long as you have a facility that's open to the public, then the public can attend the meeting at that one location. So that makes it much easier to hold a meeting that involves directors attending by telephone.
Yeah.
And so that's how we're doing it now with the director plan.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Steve.
Sure.
Thank you.
I think that's it. And meeting adjourned. Thank you. Thanks to everybody online. Really appreciate it.